Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Inner Athlete. I'm your host, James Jankowicz, and we got a wrapper-upper for you tonight. We're going to be taking a look at the year in review, the year that's just gone behind us, 08, and we're going to look forward into what's available and what's possible in 09. And this is the first year we've done the show, so it'll be looking forward to sort of reflecting on some of the programs we did and the input we've had from the audience, which has been great. And I just want to thank you all for participating. So sit back, relax, and we're going to go over all that. And don't forget to visit us at innerathletetraining.com, innerathletetraining.com. And we'll be back right after this. And welcome back to The Inner Athlete. Again, I'm your host, James Jankowicz, and don't forget to visit us at innerathletetraining.com, innerathletetraining.com, where you'll find all sorts of articles, and now the radio shows are all posted up there, too, so you can listen to some of the back issues of the radio broadcasts. So here we go. We are just on the cusp of leaving 08 behind us, and we're going into 09. And this is the first year we've done this program. So I want to first just thank everybody for listening, and thanks everybody for participating and providing your feedback and your questions and your inquiries. It's been very valuable, and I hope you continue to do so coming into the new year. And we'll be changing some facets of the show. We'll be the website will be updated. I think it is right now, actually. And then we have a whole new array of guests that will be coming on, and getting a new phone line hooked in. So we'll actually be able to interview people on the phone instead of having them come into the studio all the time, which is challenging to people's schedules. But it's been a good year. I mean, we started off, I think, somewhere around March of this year, and we've been steadily and consistently going one time a week. So eventually, maybe not completely in 09, but we want to ramp it up to maybe 2 days a week and then three, and eventually a 4 to 5 day broadcast would be the ultimate goal. But we're still a little far away from that because this is not my full-time gig. I don't derive an income from this right now, so it's a labor of love. But the whole point of the show, and the whole point of the title of the show, and the whole point of the branding, as we've discussed in the past, is really just to motivate everybody out there who's listening to really get in touch with their inner athlete and to sort of just try to do away with some of the preconceived notions that you may still be walking around with about your stature or your perception of yourself as an athlete. Because we use the word athlete, of course, but you know what we really want to do is just get people out there moving and to get out there and play, essentially. Because we've become so disconnected with our bodies, with the lifestyle that we live, and we've become so disconnected with our ability to go out and play. You know, so often I walk around parks when I'm out jogging, and I see these incredible jungle gyms that are set up for little children, and I'm thinking to myself, there's no reason that, you know, they shouldn't be building those for adults. You know, there's no reason that adults shouldn't be stretching and climbing and running and jumping through things and challenging themselves proprioceptively, which means essentially your balance. And for some reason, we just limit it to the children, and we shouldn't. So the inner athlete is really about that. It's really about getting in touch with that part of you that likes to move. And through the information that we disseminate, we're trying to help you do it better. So you're injury adverse. So if you do get injured, also you'll know how to heal yourself and how to deal with your injuries. But most importantly, how to do it safely. And that's why we have a video series that'll be coming out in 09. Wanted to have it wrapped up by 08, but just time wouldn't allow it. And we have a whole series called the Inner Athlete Back to Basics series. And it's literally just all shot in a park, and it's just all about getting back to basics. You know, what are your basic push-ups? What are your basic lunges? What are your basic squats? So often we do these things, and we're very unaware that we may be doing them incorrectly, that we may be possibly injuring ourselves while we're doing them. So that's what that whole series is designed for, and it will progress. You know, the Back to Basics series does have a progression to it, so as each new series comes out, we'll be able to essentially ramp your training up. But again, just to reiterate, the whole idea of the inner athlete training is to train the inner athlete. And when we talk about athletics, you know, we're talking about, or what I'm alluding to anyway, is the highest conduct of your human potential. When you compete in something athletic, you know, you're up there against the odds, and you have to go up with the best of the best at the time. And that so often brings out the best in you. You know, your ability, right from the get-go, your ability to train, you know, your discipline to say you're going to get up every day and do some training, and then eventually progress in your training and get to the point where whatever event you happen to be participating in, where you're at peak performance. And then you go into the arena of competition, and then you're competing with the best, and sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But some of the old cliches that we grew up with, you know, it's not about winning, you know, it's about how you play the game. You get out of it what you put into it. they're not just cliches, is what I'm trying to say, basically. There's so much profound truth to them. And, of course, when we're younger and we're competing, you know, we don't want to hear that kind of stuff. You know, we're just sort of like, whatever, you know, I want to win. And so much of what our lives start out with in terms of athletics can go down one of two roads. One is everything is so externally motivated. So everything we do is with the desire to impress the coach, the desire to maybe impress your girlfriend or your boyfriend, your desire to impress your parents, the stress that may have been imposed upon you about the scholarship that you could possibly win. And so all this aggregate stress leads to sometimes a rather dysfunctional perception of the sport you're actually participating in, and the whole idea of participating in sports to begin with. Because once that has been embedded into you, then your motivation becomes very externalized. Then as you grow older, and if you haven't sort of transcended that thought pattern, then you're going to find yourself rather unconsciously doing things to satisfy some sort of external stimulus. When you're older, maybe you want to show people at work that you could be 40 years old and still run a marathon, you know. But that's an external stimulus. Maybe you just want to prove to your kids. Maybe the tide has totally turned. Now you have kids, and now you want to prove to your kids that, you know, you could be running and jumping as much as they can be. But the whole point of the inner athlete here is to try to eliminate the external motivation and try to really bring it back to your internal motivation. And not to dismiss at all, you know, the value of competition. Competition is very healthy, and, you know, and it keeps us driven on some level. But even the desire to compete should really be a very sacred internal process. You know, it shouldn't be anything that's really driven compulsively in any kind of obsessive way from something on the outside. So that's how the athletes that I find are growing up these days. It's a little different when I was younger, you know, especially for me personally, because I was just so internally motivated to do everything. And I was part of the Generation X, so we were the ones who actually started the X Games. We're the ones who started the extreme culture. We had had enough of baseball and basketball, even though we've done all those. But we found much more satisfaction in going out and, you know, riding our bikes over ramps or skateboarding or surfing or doing anything of that nature. So I'm of that generation. You know, you look at the Tony Hawks and the Tony Alvas and people of that ilk. You know, we're the ones who really started that upward swing in it. And it was a little bit of a rebellion against the mainstream athletics, because we felt the records had been set. We felt that there were enough people doing that. And it didn't satisfy us. You know, it didn't do us any good to have a coach out there blowing a whistle, or a referee or a coach telling us we did something wrong. You know, that just did not fly with us. So off we went to do things on our own. So we tiddled around in parking lots with our skateboards and our bicycles, and, you know, we were our own judges. You know, it was a bunch of your buddies getting together and be like, hey, you know, I can do this trick. Well, how do you do that? You know, let me show you how we do this. And, you know, and that's how we evolved athletically. And the internal motivation was endless, and it was boundless, because it wasn't about, oh, now we got to dress up and go to this competition. Now we got this coach yelling at me. Now my dad's yelling at me. Da da da. You know, we didn't have any of that. It was just this almost pure internal motivation, where you could spend hours and hours and days just practicing one trick on a skateboard, and you never got tired. It was just constant internal motivation. And so we set out and really started doing our own thing at that point. And the whole extreme game culture arose from that. Now you have BMX, now you have skateboarding, now you have snowboarding. I remember when I was a teenager, it was like 14 or 15, I had one of the first snowboards, and they were just these rinky-dink pieces of wood with what seemed to be huge staples stapled into them, and that's what pretty much kept your foot on the board. And then you had this stupid little rope that came up from the front of the board that you hang on to in the front, and that's what you would spend hours and hours going downhill, you know, trying to do. You couldn't do anything sophisticated on it because the technology wasn't there that there are in the snowboards today. But the point is, I'm rather proud of being part of that generation. The millions of us who just spend time, you know, with our friends in our backyards, you know, going to remote places and challenging ourselves in unique and interesting ways. And again, you know, without the structure, you know, without the formality of traditional sports, and that was just our time to break away from that. Now that's all there is to it. I mean, that happens in every facet of life. You know, things are done a certain way for a couple generations, and then slowly but surely people start breaking away from it. Now it's very common, you know, for kids to be hoarding together, practicing skateboarding. And it seems to be that their motivation is still the same. And now it was great to see that an entire industry was built on it. You know, an entire industry was built on kids that created this thing and did it on their own and then really created their own niche industry in it. So, and this is, of course, not to, you know, dismiss anything, the value of, you know, soccer or baseball. I mean, those are great sports, absolutely. But there's a traditional structure to those that the EX Games weren't exposed to. And I'm just highlighting it just to drive home the point that, you know, really what's the difference between internally being motivated to do what you need to do in terms of your training and externally. And there just seemed to be a lot more external drive playing the more traditional sports, because you did have the coaches, you did have the scholarships riding on it, you know, you did have you know, it affected your standing in school, you know, it affected your popularity in school. So all this played into, you know, what became part of your motivation. Now that's one part of it, because those are the kids who excelled in athletics. And the other part of it is just the opposite, you know, and this ties into the inner athlete theme as well. You know, what about the children who weren't all that physically adept? You know, what about the children who weren't picked for the volleyball team or the dodgeball team, which, by the way, I still hear that they're banning dodgeball in some states and some school districts, which is a whole other argument. I think it's kind of absurd, but anyway, the point is, you know, what about the children who never felt comfortable in their own skin? You know, what about the ones who never played sports or may have done it, may have played sports, but not have done very well? You know, now they're walking around with this preconceived notion that, hey man, I'm not an athlete. You know, and then you bring that up into your adult life, and then all of a sudden you're you know, you find yourself unhealthy, or you find yourself obsessively a computer geek or something, and you've just written off athletics on any level. You know, so that's the pendulum swinging to the other degree. And, you know, there's a place in my heart for that contingency of people. And, you know, a large portion of the show is dedicated to those people, because essentially I want them to reconnect with that. You know, I want them to redo that old programming and walk away with this idea that just because they may have had a couple bad experiences doesn't mean that they're not entitled to continually, you know, do athletics in their life. And some people don't find it till later in life. You know, some people don't get involved. I mean, George Sheehan, and I should really put his link up on my website. Let me just make a note of that. George Sheehan was an author, and he was a doctor, and he's a runner. I remember reading his first book on running at 16 years old, and he had this very kind of existential point of view about running that I found very attractive, even as a young teenager. And he did not get into his athletic career until he was in his 40s. He was a doctor. He did everything, you know, by the book, did exactly what his family wanted him to do, stayed within the tradition. And then somewhere in his 40s, he stumbled upon running, and bam, I mean, he just changed his life. You know, he was, And when you read his readings, and I'd really encourage you to Google him. His name is George Sheehan, Sheehan. And just read, some of the perceptions and insights that this guy has. And then he had a regular column in Runner's World magazine. And then I think it was about 91 or 92 he eventually passed. And I remember particularly being sad because he was a real motivation for me. I just remember reading his work and feeling so connected to him, and experiencing many of the same things that he experiences when he was running. So, but there you have an example of somebody who came into it later in life. So this whole idea that, I missed my window of opportunity, I was never picked for the team, I was never good at athletics, and now I'm 40 years old and I'm just a little too old for that now. It's crap. Just to really drive it home, it's just a bunch of crap. You can pick this up at any time, and your body has well over 200 joints in it. It's designed to move. It's supposed to move. And the inner athlete has been and will continue to be all about finding out where you are at and taking your training from that point and escalating it from there. Because even though you may have had some bad experiences, it doesn't mean you can't just erase all that now and move on and transcend that. And I've seen so many people as a trainer, because I've been a trainer now for over 20 years, I've seen so many people hung up on these past concepts of what they thought an athlete should be and how they just said, well, I'm not that. And then they completely isolate themselves from that community and then anything that has to do with physical activity whatsoever. And it's bad, and then it's very hard. It's harder for some people then, in their 30s and 40s, to then get into the groove. And it's like a habit. And every study out there says it takes approximately 30 days of doing something consistently before it becomes a habit. But then you have people who get stuck on the, this is really uncomfortable zone. And this is kind of like the third triad in the holy trinity of the inner athlete because, training should on some level be uncomfortable. That's the whole point. The whole point is to, whatever level you're at, to be honest about it, and then in very small increments start transcending it. Because there's something about doing something physical that talks back to you in a way that a lot of other things in life cannot. Because you can sit in a chair all day and you can philosophize over these, high-end concepts, about reality and quantum physics, and you can go down that road. But all that's for naught if you can't somehow take those high-minded ideas and transfer them into something as simple as a forward roll or running a mile. And this is where I find people get all hung up. They like to talk about all these great things and how it's great to take care of your health and how it's great to, to raise your consciousness. And there's something about doing something physical that talks back to you directly. It's a direct feedback loop. And it gives you feedback that's very real and very authentic, because if you slowly but progressively continue to push yourself through your comfort zone, through physical training, and then you access it, your motivation truly comes from an internalized place of wanting to be better and wanting to be healthier, then you're going to see all sorts of great changes in your mind, in your body, your flexibility, your strength. All of these things are going to start changing in your life, and you're going to think to yourself, wow, that's incredible. And you'd be surprised at how little effort it actually does take. And where I find a lot of people go wrong too is when it comes to the motivation, they get hung up on this. They get hung up on, I want to lose weight by a certain date because I have a wedding to go to. Or I want to look a certain way because, as far as guys go, there's only the pecs and the biceps, so they just want to build up those muscles. And so there are all these little goals, and there's nothing wrong with those goals, but what I'm trying to say here is that there's a governing goal. There's a much higher goal, and there's a much higher way of looking at all this. And that's simply just looking at this whole picture and saying, you know what, I just want to be as healthy as I could possibly be. I want to run as fast as I could. I want to eat as well as I could. I want to be as strong as I could within my age limit, within my genetic limitations, within whatever limitations I have been working in. I want to optimize those and hopefully eventually transcend them. And when you look at it from that point of view, when you look at it from the perspective of that's the big picture, well, then guess what? The weight loss is going to come. You know, the muscle gain is going to come. The flexibility is going to come. The speed is going to come. Like all the other things that you benefit, you know, the radiance in your smile, the clarity in your skin, all that stuff is going to come back eventually. But if you take any one of those little things I just mentioned and make those a sole goal, then you're barking up the wrong tree. You really need to step back and you need to look at this globally. You need to look at this from the biggest, widest possible perspective that you possibly can. Because when you operate from that point, all those other things, they just happen. But if you're focusing all your attention just on weight loss, then you're going to try all these weight loss gimmicks, right? And then you're going to try all these you're going to jump on the Atkins, and you're going to go for the Hollywood diet, and you're going to go for the grapefruit diet, and you're going to go for all these things out there that just simply manipulate your metabolism but don't really give you any kind of long-term sustaining change. And the changes you make in your life have to be sustainable, because it can't just be about losing weight. And I hear this all the time, and it really gets under my skin. If you just make it a lifestyle choice, a lifestyle alteration, it will stick with you, and the benefits will be endless. It'll go so beyond the weight loss. You will start experiencing levels of health that you couldn't even fathom before. But if you keep your eyes specifically just on the weight loss or just on the muscle gain, you're going to find all sorts of tricks and all sorts of ways to get you there quicker and get you there more effectively, and you're going to miss the big picture. And in missing the big picture, you're going to miss all the lateral things that come along with it. And you know what? You're going to be the worse off for it. So, as we come into the new year, and as you reassess your new goals, you just really have to be brutally honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself about where you're at. Be honest with yourself about what you want on all levels of life. Because when you look at the totality of your health, it's not just limited to your exercise and your nutrition. The totality of your health is based on the aggregate of input. And the input is not limited to just nutrition. The input is limited to the company you keep. Your input is also inclusive of the environment you work in. You know, your input is inclusive of the environment you live in, the environment you work in, your friends. You know, if any of these are toxic on any level, then you're ingesting toxicity, you know, not just by eating bad foods. So here on The Inner Athlete, it's just very important to look at the bigger picture. You just really need to pull yourself out of that room and look at your house, and then look at your street, and look at your town, and look at your state, and look at your country, and then look at your globe, look at your universe. You know, you really need to see it from that whole entire picture rather than become so mired down and just, oh, I just want to lose a couple pounds, you know, then I'll feel good about myself. Doesn't work that way. And trust me, I've done this over 20 years. It's not sustainable. If your motivation comes from a higher place, from a more evolved place, it's sustainable. If it comes from a more honest place, it's far more sustainable. So really important, as we come into the new year and you start writing down your goals, your nutrition goals, your fitness goals, you need to just include everything, and you need to look at your whole your health in a totality. It cannot be limited just to exercise and nutrition. Because what I've seen in my life too is I've seen people who are incredibly fit and eat very well, but have also, ironically, been some of the most chronically negative people I've ever met in my entire life. And that's not going to bode well. Because essentially that negativity and that cynicism is going to be just as, just as injurious to your cells and to your innards as not exercising or not eating well. In fact, I would be so bold as to say the opposite. I'd be so bold as to say that, you know, you're probably better off just having a better attitude, even if you eat a crap diet and don't exercise. Because every study that's out there has been a testament to the idea that your attitude and your mind has far more of an impact on your net well-being than all the other things combined. But now, if you do have a good attitude and you do have a good outlook, and then you are exercising and you are eating well, and you have eliminated the toxic relationships, and you have eliminated the toxic job, and you have eliminated the toxic environments that you live in or work in, and you take all that in consideration, and you know, and now you're talking about dynamic wellness, you know, dynamic health. And here at the Inner Athlete, that's ultimately what we want you guys all to achieve. And just to drive the point home again from earlier, we want it to all be from an internally motivated source. So I just want to try to eliminate this idea that I'm doing it for this person, or I'm doing it for that person, I'm doing it for my coach. You want to get rid of that. And if you haven't been an athlete, you want to get rid of these old preconceptions that maybe I'm not an athlete, that maybe I'm not good at this. You want to get rid of those as well. And then you just want to integrate and understand that the totality of your health is also contingent upon, you know, what you're thinking, what you're doing. And when there's an integration of your actions and your thoughts, you're going to find a level of health that you may have never even imagined before. And that is just house rules. That's just simply how it works. So anyway, we're coming up to the middle of the program already, so let me take a quick break, get some water because I'm getting a little dry, and we'll be right back. And don't forget to visit us at innerathletetraining.com. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to The Inner Athlete. And don't forget to visit us at innerathletetraining.com. So we're just doing a little year in review, just sort of discussing some ideas about what your motivations are when you go to work out and the many levels that this thing really goes down to in terms of, you know, like an onion. You just have to unpeel and unpeel and to find that place in you that really starts exercising and training from an authentic place is what makes all the difference in the world, and that's what the inner athlete is really all about. You know, just trying to bypass all the external motivation and get to a place where this is a sacred and meaningful experience to you, regardless of what kind of training you do. But to almost look at it as a spiritual practice rather than just purely a physical practice. And one of the gentlemen I mentioned earlier was a fellow named George Sheehan. And I'm just quoting now from one of his essays. He had written for Runner's World for years and years and years, and he was a very prolific writer on running. And he was a doctor, he's a cardiologist, so he really knew all the benefits. But in the theme of what we're talking about today, I felt this one was particularly germane. And this one is one of his essays called, Why Do I Run? Why do I run? I have written over the years of the benefits I receive from running, enumerated the physical and mental changes, listed the emotional and spiritual gains, charted the improvement that has taken place in my person and my life. What I have not emphasized is how transient these values and virtues are. With just a little thought, however, it should be evident that physical laws parallel those of the mind and the spirit. We know that the effects of training are temporary. I cannot put fitness in the bank. If inactive, I will detrain in less time than it took me to get in shape. And since my entire persona is influenced by my running program, I must be constantly in training. Otherwise, a sedentary life will inexorably reduce my mental and emotional well-being. So I run each day to preserve the self I attained the day before. And coupled with this is the desire to secure the self yet to be. There can be no let-up. If I do not run, I will eventually lose all I have gained and my future with it. Maintenance was a favorite topic of Eric Hoffer. It made the difference, said the former longshoreman, between a country that was successful and one that failed. However magnificent the achievement, without constant care, the result was decay. I know the experience intimately. There is nothing more brief than a laurel. Victory is of the moment. It must be followed by another victory, and then another. I have to run just to stay in place. Excellence is not something attained and put in a trophy case. It is not sought after, achieved, and thereafter a steady state. It is a momentary phenomenon, a rare conjunction of body, mind, and spirit at one's peak. Should I come to that peak, I cannot stay there. Through running, I have learned what I can be and do. My body is now sensitive to the slightest change. It is particularly aware of any decline or decay. I can feel this lessening of the me that I have come to think of myself. Running has made this new me, taken the raw material and honed it and delivered it back, ready to do the work of a human being. I run so I do not lose the me I was yesterday and the me I might become tomorrow. And right there, ladies and gentlemen, is truly the words of an inner athlete. And I suggest maybe you play that one over and listen to it carefully, because what it really does is bring this whole idea, you know, one of the other ideas that we really try to emphasize here on the show, that your athletic performance, your training, whatever form it may take, is the most concrete reflection of your life. It's the most tangible, measurable method that talks back to you instantly. And what I felt this essay was really addressing is this, the bigger idea we were talking about before, and adding a new concept to it, that once you get there, you know, once you become conditioned, it's not something, as the article said, you put in a trophy case and lock up and be done with it. It's something you have to get up every day and reaffirm. Therefore, it's something you have to do every day. On some level, whatever your training happens to be, whether it's mild, whether it's intense, your level of health, your level of conditioning, your level of well-being is not just simply something you attain and then you say, here I am, and you sit on your laurels. In fact, it has to be something, as the essay explained, that has to be achieved, and if you're looking at it from a more competitive standpoint, it has to be won every single day. So the affirmation that you're giving yourself by waking up every day and doing your practice, whether it is running, as it was in George Sheehan's case, or whether it's your Qigong or your Tai Chi, whether it's your push-ups and pull-ups, whatever exercise method you happen to follow, it's the practice of doing it every day and then getting better and better and then having to sustain that and get better the next day. And as the article so eloquently put, I do it not so I don't lose who I was yesterday and I don't forgo who I may become tomorrow. Because it's constantly changing. And when I say it's a metaphor, it is a metaphor because that's the way we evolve. That's more or less the way we want to be integrating the rest of our lives. We do want to be going forward. We do want to be taking it to the next level. And the wisdom and the beauty of doing it in something athletic is that it does talk back to you instantaneously. And it's very measurable. So if you can get past your comfort zones in that time that you've designated to work out, that lesson very easily then converts itself to your day-to-day life. Ask anybody who's finished a marathon. Ask them the feeling of invincibility they feel. Ask anybody who's climbed Mount Everest. Ask anybody who's done any kind of terrific athletic feat, speed climbing, any kind of athletic endeavor, and just ask them how they feel afterwards, and you do have this incredible feeling of invincibility. But where we might lose it is if we just keep it within that realm of the athletic. If you're not taking the lessons of your training and the benefits of your training and then extrapolating them into your day-to-day life, into your work, into your relationships, if you're not making those kind of connections, then you're missing something very important here. Because it's really important to put a lot of quality into your training, and then when these lessons really, really absorb into your mind, into your cells, you'll understand that, you know, when you're at work and now you're into your day, and, you know, that same thought process, the same attributes, the same benefits you get from training then carry into your day-to-day life. And if in your training you can practice all the virtues, such as patience, such as training hard but sustaining a calm mind, such as pushing yourself past your comfort zone in a controlled way, then you just simply take this into your life and you find that these lessons are so easily transferable. And just like when you get to a certain point athletically, and you have to sustain it and get better, such as so is the rest of your life, whether it's your business, whether it's your art, whether it's your work, whether it's your relationship, no matter what it happened to be. So the inner athlete is really just taking about this practice of training and understanding that it's not just about training the body, that it's about training the mind. You know, for example, if you're doing something athletic and you can't get it, and so you're trying to serve, you know, perfect your serve in tennis, you know, or your golf swing, or you're trying to bench 2 1/4 you know, on the flat bench, and whatever it happens to be, and you can't get it, you know, it's important to look at how are you processing all this. You know, are you getting impatient? Are you getting frustrated? Are you getting judgmental? I have not found a better arena for evaluating your inner dialogue than pushing yourself physically. Because then your demons really start coming up. They really do. Because your impatience, your judgments on yourself, your resentment towards others, it really comes to the surface when you're trying in a constructive and safe way to push yourself past your comfort zone. So, you know, you may be going for, 12 push-ups instead of 10. You know, you may be trying to shave off a minute off your 5K, you know, whatever you happen to be doing. And it takes a lot of commitment and it takes a lot of focus. But the inner athlete truly and very honestly and authentically evaluates the inner dialogue that's going on in his or her mind while they're doing all this. And that's where the real value comes from. Because if you're sitting there being all pissed off, all upset, all aggravated, then you're not really learning it. You're not getting it. If you can do some of the more simple physical remedial tasks that make you feel very uncomfortable, and you can do them with a calm, sound mind, therein lies the magic. Therein lies the transference. Therein lies the lessons. Therein lies the value. And this is just universally true for everybody. When you're physically uncomfortable, you know, there's a lot of stuff in you that's going to come up. You know, if you can't shave a minute off that 5K, you may be thinking to yourself, well, you know, that coach was right. You know, that kid in high school was right. My mom was right. My dad was right. I'm not good at this. I shouldn't be doing this. Blah, 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 blah. You know, all that stuff comes up from the past. And every time you push yourself physically, you have an opportunity to transcend that. And why is it measurable? Because you'll know when you accomplish your goal. And when you get better and better at it. That's why I'm saying it's measurable. That's why I'm saying it talks back to you instantaneously. That's why you can sit for years in therapy and still philosophize about all these concepts, but you have to apply that in the physical domain. And you can't evade the truth of it. Because if you're doing it successfully, you know, you'll be able to do your event or your activity with a calm mind and eventually transcend it. So really we're just looking at this whole thing as just taking this whole idea of exercise to a much deeper level. Trying to get you to understand that, you know, yes, you will get physical benefits. You know, you will be healthier. All these things will absolutely occur. But done with the correct mindset, the time that you put into your training on a day-to-day basis could actually yield a much stronger, a much more subtle, a much more peaceful mind. And who doesn't need that? So that's what I'm encouraging everybody to do is they go into their training. You know, as you reevaluate your goals for 09, you know, I want you to sort of look at this whole forum, this whole platform of Inner Athlete as being something as a catalyst to help you understand exercise and training on a much deeper, a little more profound level than six-pack abs or, you know, getting rid of the cellulite. I just want you to understand that there's a greater message to what you're doing here. And it's reflected in the work of George Sheehan. It's reflected in a lot of the Eastern arts, you know, the martial arts. You know, it's reflected in a number of disciplines, but it's always been stayed in that domain. Nobody's really made that leap to say, well, you know, the same mindset that the Easterners practice in their disciplines can also be applied to baseball and football and jogging and jump roping and all the other things that we do on a day-to-day basis. Here in the West, we have just so stripped down the more valuable part of training your body, and that's that the feedback mechanism, the looping mechanism, the part that talks back to you emotionally, spiritually, and psychologically. And that's the part that is clearly the most important. Because if you're just going out and getting your exercise done just by rote, and you're just getting it done to get it done, then probably better off not even doing it at this point. Probably better off just taking a good, honest evaluation of what your motivation is. Because if you're not going out there with the right motivation, it's not going to be sustainable. If it's not going to be sustainable, and it's not going to be doing something you're doing effortless, then it becomes one more thing on your agenda to do. Just one more thing on your to-do list. And yeah, you will gain some benefit from it, but to come from it, to come to it from a place where it's truly intrinsically motivated, where it's almost like brushing your teeth because it's just something you want to do because you know you're going to feel good about it, and then to come from it from the right mindset makes all the difference in the world. Otherwise, it's just not sustainable. And when you get your six-pack abs or when you've lost your 5 or 10 pounds, then you're going to go back to your regular life. And the process by which you did get your six-pack or lost your 5 or 10 pounds may be positively injurious. When you're doing it from the right state of mind, you're doing it with the whole mind and you're doing it with the whole body, and you're getting to a place where you're doing it as healthy and vibrantly as possible. And like I said before, that weight will come off. Those muscles will start showing. All these benefits that we seek will eventually evolve if you're doing it from the right mindset. But you can't just make those one or two muscle groups your primary focus. You just can't make the body fat your primary focus. The big goal, the big question has to be, I want to be as healthy, I want to be as vibrant, I want to be as dynamic, I want to be as lively as I could possibly be. I want to run as fast as I can, I want to be as strong as I could be. And when you start with that governing idea, then all the other minutiae just takes care of itself, because then you'll find ways to do it. And the good news is, this whole idea of it taking hours and hours a day to do it, and I come from that school of thought, is just nonsense. We're talking about, you know, maybe 20 to 30 minutes a day, whatever you happen to be doing, because everything is quality. And when you do a quality workout, it is so far superior than just quantity. You could unconsciously go through a quantity-based workout and get all your sets in and all your reps and do it with a Walkman blasting in your ear, and then all of a sudden, you know, you've gotten the work done. And again, that will yield some benefits, of course. But, you know, when you come out of it with a frazzled mind and a stressed mind, then what's the point? Where in turn you could have been doing it for a much shorter period of time, being completely focused on what you're doing, even if it's just a push-up or a pull-up or whatever, and just doing it with complete mindfulness and really activating all the necessary muscles and becoming a lot more aware of what you're doing, and you walk out not only with a calmer mind but with a much more intimate relationship with yourself, because you haven't just sat there and just gone through the motions. You've actually learned something. You've actually evolved. So this is really the essence. This is really the whole point of inter-athlete training. And I'm not saying it's not, you know, you can't plug your iPod in and listen to something good, but be careful about what you're listening to. Like, what's the source of the motivation? I mean, I talk all this stuff, but yeah, there's days I need to, like, plug in good music and just, you know, blast out something too. But it's all part of the bigger process. That's just not an unconscious thing I do every day. I just realize that that's a tool in my toolbox. So, you know, the days I need it, I take it out and I use it. But the whole point is, you've got to look at this thing, that you got to look at it from the biggest picture possible, that you just want to be healthy. And then you just start making the right choices. And that your workouts are all about the quality. They're not about the quantity. Because the quantity doesn't yield the results. In fact, it's just the opposite. It yields a lot of unconsciousness, a lot of not paying attention, and subsequently, a lot of injury. And I'm sure there are a lot of you out there who know exactly what I'm talking about. So anyway, that's the big idea. And that's what this whole program is all about. When we started it this year, it's the vein I want to continue on into 09 and just keep getting this gospel out and this message out and continue to provide you with the right tools and the right information to facilitate it. because eventually, yeah, you got to get down and dirty and do the work. And when you're armed with the right information, you know, when you understand the right biomechanics, when you understand how to do this stuff in almost a scientific way, then you are less likely to get injured, and you are much more likely to do it safely. So the whole idea, what I really want to drive home, and what I really want to focus more on in 09 with this whole inter-athlete idea, is to keep the governing idea in mind, and then to continue trickling down all the minutia of information that will help you facilitate it and give you all the right tools to do it correctly. And we have a whole new barrage of guests that I'll be having on next year, and I'm really looking forward to it. We're going into uncertain times, we all know that, but it's not going to last forever. And, you know, the good news is we're well into it. You know, nobody's waiting for the sword of Damocles to start dropping now. I mean, it has dropped. So we're, you know, probably, I would estimate, about halfway through all this stuff. So we have that to look forward to. We're just going to keep climbing through this, but in the meantime, this is during these stressful times, it's even more important to work your body, to work your mind, and to really get this idea. All right, so we're at the end of the program, so I just want to wish everybody a very happy and healthy new year, and I look forward to seeing you all, talking with you all in 09. Be well, everybody. Talk to you soon.